The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, my name is JC Wallace, and I'm from St. Louis. I listen to the Mickey Miles Podcast.
This is the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 479 of the Mickey Miles and More Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and with me on today's show is Chris Eliopoulos and Michelle Scribner-McLean. And we are right in the middle of talking with Chris about his experience at the 2017 Star Wars Lightside Race Weekend in Orlando. And we're going to join right in, and Chris is going to start talking about the half marathon course.
The course, I guess I could discuss the course, which was, like I said, it was sort of a truncated marathon course. You know, you start in the parking lot at the Magic Kingdom. In this case, we only went straight to the Hollywood Studios, and then through that walkway that connects the boardwalk to Epcot. I will say the disappointing part, and what I heard from a number of people, was that the amount of time we spent in the parks on this race, because we started in a parking lot, we ran for about three and a half miles out on the road, got to Hollywood Studios, and we only came in right by Fantasmic and Tower Terror, came through out to the main drag, and then out the front, you hook a left right by that little stand in the middle. And then they have you go, you know, around the entryway, and then boom, you're done. That was it. So it was like two blocks of Hollywood Studios, and then we ran. The first day we ran by the Yacht and Beach, and then into the back end of Epcot, and we went straight through. So you went from England to Canada, and then out through the Central Hub.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, and then back out the front entrance where you normally would end on the marathon. The half marathon was slightly different in that we started again in the parking lot at the Magic Kingdom, except for me, who I was in the Wild Border Sports. We then went into Animal Kingdom, and it's very similar to what we run in the marathon, which is you come in by Collie River Rapids, you swoop around Everest, go past the Finding Nemo and into Dinosaur Land, and then when you get past the Dino World, whatever it's called, you hook a left and you're out of the park. So again, there wasn't much time in that park. Then we head to Hollywood Studios. My wife was not happy because there's a point where you're out there, and it's the ramp, you know, the circle ramp, and it's a really uphill ramp. So she wasn't too pleased with that one. And then again, same thing with Hollywood Studios. We came in, same spot, out same spot. But instead of going by Yacht and Beach, they had us go boardwalk this time. And then we came in through the back entrance of Epcot, and then they had us go up through World Showcase and around and back out. So there was a very similar feel to the regular marathon and half marathon weekends. With a little bit of truncation in spots, so it wasn't as much. And like I said, a lot of people kind of felt there wasn't a lot of park time in these.
Yeah, we talked about that when we did our preview show. We made mention that there was maybe 3 miles total, if that much in the parks.
Yeah, and it feels like it when you're running it. Like, you know, you can talk about it beforehand and look at it on paper, but when you're running it and you're out of the park so much. And, you know, they try a little bit. They have, like, you know, they have the big giant video screens where they're playing stuff. And you have a band here and there, you know, and people cheering. You know, it's great, but it's not, like, in the parks. I think that's something they really need to address in the future. and maybe that's a problem too, that they're losing people, is people want to run in the parks. Like, you need to really put some more park time in there, I think, to make it enticing to people. Because that seemed to be one of the things I was hearing a lot, was that it was like, that's it? Like, that's all the park time?
Oh, really?
It's hard. You know, you get turned around while you're in there. But you could see it from the road if you were taking the bus up to the Magic Kingdom. So you look at the TTC.
I guess my comment is that, you know, and I agree with you that if you're not going to run, if you're not going to have the courses in the parks, you're going to start losing people. I'm wondering if, because as they were to do staging at the Magic parking lot this time around, that maybe in the future they may consider 5Ks or 10Ks to go through the Magic Kingdom. For those people who don't do half marathons, they never get the chance to run up Main Street USA. So, but if you have a, I don't know about the 5K. I know that even Michelle and I tried to figure that out, and Phil a couple of years ago, and it's very challenging because there's so many logistical things to consider. But for a 10K, hey, that may possibly work in the Magic Kingdom. But I agree. Number one, it's paying a lot of money. They advertise it as running through Magic theme parks, and yet you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's bad.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's why a lot of people spend the money, right? I mean, you know, I like the theme because it's Star Wars, but if you're gonna go for the wine and dine, like, there's no real theme there that you're like excited to go do. At least give them something to, you know, entice them to come. And I think running through the parks is it. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, I tell everybody, what, you know, people go, what's it like to run through the magic, you know, through the Magic Kingdom and go through the castle? Like, nobody ever says, what's it like running, you know, on the highway next to Animal Kingdom? You know, like, anybody can do that, you know, but nobody can run through a park normally. And if they do, they get stopped by a guard saying, slow down, kiddo. So,
Right.
You know, so it's one of those things. It's like, you know, you don't realize it all that much. And even my wife was kind of like, that's kind of bad. Like, I wanted to spend more time in the parks.
So why are you coming back again to do it then?
Because I'm a Star Wars nerd.
I mean, so right now even got, a little is okay.
Yeah, you know what it is? It's like I said, we had to choose one this year because of the kids and going to college. And so it was this, or if it was the princess, or if it was, wine and dine, whatever it was. I just wanted Star Wars because it's Star Wars, and I'm a geek. But, for a lot of other people, I mean, look, there's a lot of people there involved who aren't Star Wars fans like I am. Like they were interviewed, like, you know, you go in there and they do the pre-race, you know, thing up on the screen, and they're asking people stuff, and, you know, like, nobody knows any of the Star Wars stuff. And I'm, like, rattling off trivia, and my wife is just rolling her eyes at me. And it's like, nobody running there is running because they like Star Wars. I mean, some people are, obviously. But I think, you know, there was a lot of people who were just like, oh, it's running through the parks. And it's running, you know, with this pop culture thing. So I guess we could speak to that, too. The routines are, like, it's the second year in a row and the routines are still the same. You know, beforehand. Did you guys do it last year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got the Kessel. I did the Kessel run.
It was the same kind of thing where they ran, like, they would do a bit. They would say, "Hey, everybody, you know, who's first time? Who's second time? Who's, you know, who's doing the Kessel run?" And then they play a trailer to one of the movies, and then they get off, and they go, "Hey, here's so and so from whatever sponsor we have." And then they come up and they go, "Hey, how's everybody doing? And don't forget to buy our product. And let's go watch another trailer." You know, and they watch the next movie trailer. You know, and it was sort of like same stuff over and over again. You know, you get out into the parks or you get out on the road and they have the big screens and they're playing the same scenes that you saw last year. And you kind of go, okay. You know, so I hope they do kind of mix things up a little bit as we move forward as well. But what else did they do? And it seemed like everybody was sort of in the same spots that they were last time, even though the course was reversed. So, like, in Hollywood Studios, when you come in through the back there, That's where they had the 501st. Now, last year it went the opposite direction. You were coming in through the park, and they were there right by the, you know, right at the exit. So it's sort of like the same stuff in the same places. So I don't know if you're going to get a lot of people coming back if they keep seeing the same thing over and over again. It's like been there, done that.
Chris, does Audra like the races as much as you do, you know, the Star Wars races?
Just because it's Star Wars, she just likes going through Disney parks. I mean, that's the thing. We love those parks, and we love the Disney magic, quote unquote, of what they do setting this all up. We're familiar with it now, and you know, it's fun. Like, it is fun. Like, I'm not trying to bash anything. This is just more of me saying, hey, if you want to keep this going, this is what I think you should do. But we always have fun at these races. The people are always fun. It's always fun to see people in costume and racing. You know that there are a lot of people who aren't elite athletes who are out there, and you don't feel intimidated because you're not running as fast as, you know, the A Corral, which is great. And there's no pressure from anybody to get out of the way, you know, like kind of thing. You know, like obviously we get frustrated when there's a line of four people in a row who are walking the center of the course. But I don't remember even hearing people like yelling at somebody to get out of the road, or it's like, hey, all right, let's go. So there, the fun of Disney too is just that it's there's no pressure, nice, except on yourself to do well and, you know, finish better than you did last time. So we enjoy going, and then next year, like, our plan is, like I said, we're going to do Dopey, and then we're going to go over and do the light side, and then do the dark side in Florida, so that we'll get the Kessel Run. So, you know, we like the runs, we like the races, we like the parks and stuff like that. So it's definitely, if nothing else, this run has invigorated me to go back and keep start doing more again, which is weird.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
that's
good. I mean, all my complaints aside, I felt better this race.
You did a lot of training. You were always running.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the point where I was doing 10 on Saturday, 10 on Sunday, and then doing a few runs during the week. So for me, you know, it wasn't. What's funny is I wasn't even stressed. I get nervous before every race, and I'll be up half the night before worrying about it. I'd be worried on the bus. I'd be, you know, buried in the corrals. And for some reason, these two races, I was really calm.
You were chill.
Yeah, I really wasn't. And my Audra was just like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I fell asleep. I fell asleep in the corral. We were sitting on the floor, on the ground, and I nodded off, which I've never done before.
Wow.
It was a really, you know, comfortable race, and I felt good. And like I said, you know, those minor quibbles aside, just, you know, I just want it to be better for the sake of everybody. It's a good race. It's a fun race to go and nerd out with. And, you know, you got your Star Wars shirts on or whatever you're wearing. And then you got Rudy and John and Carissa. Yeah. So they were great. You know, it's always, you know, and that again is comfortable. You've got the people that you know who are out there. And it's fun. It was a blast. And I'm trying to think if there's anything else that stood out other than just, like, it was a comfortable run. It didn't seem crowded, which, you know, again, maybe by design now. I don't know. But it was really great to be able to run and not zigzag around everybody. I felt like my watch had fewer miles than in previous races, where, like, you know, in the past you feel like you're always going around people. I didn't feel like I did that as much this race, so, because there were fewer people. So yeah, it was a positive experience all the way through.
Awesome. I want to do it again.
Yeah.
Pick it up. Let's go.
Because I want to run through the parks. I want to see all the characters.
No. What's interesting is I haven't done. You guys, did you do the, you, Mike, you did the light side challenge?
Yeah, yeah. It was probably my favorite course out there.
Really?
There were parts that were so much unlike the other races down there, because there were areas we ran through very small neighborhoods. Of course, there's a few major roadways that you run, especially, you know, as you're leaving Disneyland and as you're approaching the line. Of course, you're running through downtown Disney, but I think it's my favorite Disneyland course. It was just nice and flat and just very, very pleasant. Very pleasant.
Yeah, I'm still waiting. They delayed the registration for that one, and I'm still waiting to find out when they're going to open that up.
Hmm.
It was originally, I mean, obviously, it's a week after Marathon Weekend, and it was supposed to be out there a while ago, and they just said, hold on, we're going to delay it for a little bit. So I don't know what that's about. If I've been waiting for like that, you know, email or something coming out on Twitter or Facebook saying, hey, because it would be interesting to see like the difference, compare it. I mean, I'm sure you obviously have a better gauge on it. But it'll be fun to see what they do next year at the Dark Side, if they keep this course or if they change it or what they change up with it. Like I said, it would have been fun if they had us go into the Magic Kingdom and out and then off to the Animal Kingdom and Hollywood Studios. It would have been fun to get all four parks in. I mean,
yeah.
Why else start like right outside of the Magic Kingdom unless, you know, you could go through the Magic Kingdom?
You know, Chris, that's a great idea because we all know that they want the runners out of the Magic Kingdom as early as possible so that they can open up the park. So my guess is that, you know, if you could work it so that you could run through the Magic Kingdom during the first hour, maybe the first 90 minutes, because you may have so many people, and with the corral releases, it makes sense, and who knows, maybe that's a consideration.
Yeah, right. I mean, when they got rid of the racetrack, did they add any more parking in there?
They flattened it out, and they added, they made an area there where I believe they were parking. Oh, I saw vehicles parking there one time within the last year, but I don't recall what. I was wondering if there was or why they would extend. I mean, you don't have that much capacity left in the Magic Kingdom, so why would you add more cars unless they were going to use that space for something else, maybe to park buses? I don't know. But we'll see. But I really think that a consideration would be to start the runners at the Magic Kingdom parking lot.
Yeah. My only concern was just thinking that that takes up so much space for parking for the weekend.
Right.
That's why they weren't doing it. But if they're doing it at Epcot, it's the same thing.
Well, they could also make it mandatory that everybody take buses. They've done that with was it Wine and Dine? Or I think they did it with the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror. We could not drive to the studios. We had to get there some other way, be it bus or walk
hang
from.
Hang gliding,
yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like maybe they go to the Wild World of Sports where I'm sitting right now and then have, and they have those people bust to the Magic Kingdom parking lot. So, but yeah, it was sort of a letdown. Like you go to the parking lot and the Magic Kingdom is like right there. Like it's like right over there somewhere. And, you know, you didn't get to go through it. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe this is their you know, trial balloon. They're trying to see if this will work.
Could be.
I mean, I know it's easier to contain if you have the start and the finish in Epcot. But I felt like this was something like I went somewhere by having it in two different spots.
That's
you know? And they did a good job logistically getting the buses in and getting people through. I felt like there wasn't a hiccup. The fact that they changed it all around, it didn't seem to be like, you know, bus drivers not knowing where to go or, you know, people getting confused. So they did a great job when it comes to that stuff. So they seem to have that down.
Before we sign off, I wanted to ask you one more thing about changes. And one of the changes that we know has taken place over the last month at the Magic Kingdom is the baggage check, security check. Can you tell the audience what you saw?
So I actually sent you guys pictures. So because we had seen pictures, we were trying to understand where these were now.
Right.
So in the old days, a couple of years ago, if you remember, you'd come off the buses, and you would walk up towards the Magic Kingdom, and then they make you go down to the left and down that hill and through the front entrance of the Magic Kingdom, and then they would split you off left and right, and they had stands for baggage. And they had like a gate in the way, like they basically removed all of that, and they have two layers of white tents overhead, and that right up front is where they have the security, the baggage check, right there, and then they obviously have the metal detectors right there as well. So it's even farther out of the park than where it originally was, and it's centralized, so it's not like you're going left or right. It's, boom, it's right there. So it was very interesting to see. I'm not sure if – I assume it works better for them, but the lines were not very long. There was only a couple – the lines at the gate were huge, so a lot of people seemed to be getting through there, and when we went through there the first day – they weren't even checking your fingerprints. They were trying to get people through like quick.
Oh.
But so yeah, it was interesting. We went through there. We even with the crowds, the crowd was backed up. I want to say it was each line had to be about 30 people deep, waiting to get in. But I felt like we got in fairly quickly. Like there was not a lot of wait time. I think whatever they did with the baggage check really seemed to have worked. I broke my old habit. I never got asked to go through the metal detectors.
Oh, my goodness.
Which was like the bane of my existence my last trip. It was like every time I went near an entrance, I was checked. Mm. This time I was not. We were walking through, and there was the metal detector right to the left. And my son was like, oh, do we need to go through that? I'm like, shut up. And the guard was like, not if somebody asked you to. Yeah, but no. So go. And so we went right through. So they seem to have figured out a system that might be working well for people.
Hmm. I don't know. Yeah. I still think you're a shady character, but
I always feel like I am.
I got to put in a call to our Disney security and say, what's going on? Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah. You know, it's with those cartoonists. They're always trouble.
Yeah.
But it was very interesting. I'm trying to think if there was anything I saw any different. Things that we did. I mean, it was a quick trip. It was fairly. I did finally go on to Frozen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you did. Frozen ride. Oh, good.
We did. So my wife and my son, one son went home on Sunday night because he had a project due on Monday, so we had to get him back.
Oh,
so I said
we
wanted to go. But I said I'll go back too. And my wife is like, no, the other kid doesn't need. You know, he doesn't have to suffer because of this.
Aww.
So I stayed with Jeremy, and then it was Sunday night. We were at Epcot, and it was right around the time for Illuminations, and I said, you know what, let's try to see if we can get in there and see what the wait is. The wait time had said 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And so my son was like, oh, really? I'm like, you know what, the fireworks is about to start. I'm going to assume it's going to be much less than that. And he's like, well, how much is that? I'm like, look, I'm figuring under an hour. And so we got in there. I timed it. It was 15 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So we were able to get in, get on the ride.
It said an hour on the display?
It's an hour and a half. It's at 90 minutes outside.
Wow.
Yeah.
And?
Maybe trying to discourage people before the Illuminations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What did you think?
That was a waste of 15 minutes.
Yeah, I was not super impressed with it either. I don't know.
What was funny is even like, so look, I'm very forgiving with all this stuff, and it was just sort of like, yeah, okay. But even like Jeremy was like, all the characters look like they're wearing masks. I know they're doing that technology now where it's like a video projection of the face. But it's like, so on like Anna and Elsa, like you can see like a line on the sides of their faces, that where the projection starts and where it ends, and it looks creepy. It looks like they're wearing a mask.
Yeah, so, I mean, like the one that's in Buzz Lightyear, I think is done very well.
Right,
and that's years old. You know, that's a long. Mm-hmm.
Well, even the Mine Train, like the
yes. I don't know.
They look really.
I'm not super impressed with it either. It's just like, meh. I don't know.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me sort of like the half marathon. there were little snippets of places where you had something going on and a lot of open space where there was nothing going on. So it was like there's open space where we were running out on the, you know, on the highways, and then there was the 2 seconds where you're in the parks, and that's what I felt like on Frozen. It was like you got to see a little snippet of something, and then it was just like, you know, forest or a ice thing or something like that. What did you guys have seen it?
I've seen it. Mike hasn't. You haven't seen it.
No.
Mike, haven't even gone?
No.
Is there a reason?
I watched the video on YouTube and I just thought there's nothing really interesting that, I mean, I'm usually interested in the advanced technology for the attractions and stuff, and it's just something that, I can take my time.
That. I know plenty of adults who.
Well, I'm sure.
Frozen
and
crazy.
And yeah, but I mean, if there's no special effects,
you know what it is? I also didn't feel like there was a story. Like, it just seemed like, here are the characters, woo! Well, I mean, it worked in the sense that, you know, there was never more than a 5-minute wait to get on that ride forever. And now they've got people. Forever? Now they got people going for 90 minutes. They're willing to wait online for that. So, you know. I just wonder how many people will go back on it after waiting 90 minutes. I'm trying to think of any other fun little things we did. What else
did you go to La Cava?
We didn't. I went by there, but it was packed. It was so packed. We usually like to go in and sit, and even the table, it was like a wait. So we're like, well, you know, maybe not today. We'll come back in the summer and we'll go there again and take some time. But I mean, even the, you know, it's crazy now. The line just to walk, you know, to go to the bar to get a drink and walk out is like queued now. Like you have to go back and forth 3 times just to get in there.
They have an expand. Chris, I thought they were talking about that.
One of the managers had told me a couple of years ago that they were asking to expand it. There's an area behind there that they could have opened it up further for more room. I guess they were not able to do it because this is going back a few years. So maybe they want to just keep it that small little place. I went to your favorite pizzeria. I went to Via Napoli.
Yeah, Mike's got a pizza peel there with his name on it.
Oh, does he? Excellent.
No, he doesn't.
I always thought Mike was the center oven. I always looked up at those.
They get nervous when I go in there. Oh no, Scope is here.
Oh no. But we like it. They always do good by me. I always feel like I'm full at the end and it's good stuff. I know you're not a big fan, but.
Oh, no.
I mean, I think that it's changed a little bit over the years, but I think it's, they have a decent pizza,
Yeah. We make sure that we go there every time we go down, so.
Never had a regular pizza there, though. We've always had, like, specialty pizzas there, so I've never had a real, honest to goodness, American pizza, you know?
What's that? Yeah. What's an American pizza?
Like, you have margarita and stuff. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, plain red. I mean, I don't know what kind of pizza sauce they have. But it's always been, we've always had the, I forget what it's called, Mr. Cacioffi, which is white pizza with
truffles
and mushrooms and artichokes, something like that. Which is good. You know, then I learned how to make that, and so now it's not that special.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, I usually just get a regular pizza. I get, like, pepperoni and anchovies. I get the hairy fish on there, so.
Ooh, I like that.
It was a nice time. We did start. It's funny, the day we were flying out on Saturday, as if my son couldn't, like, deal with his nerdy father any further, our flight, we didn't have to leave. The driver wasn't going to pick us up until about 10:45, I think. So we got up and we went right to Hollywood Studios that morning, and I had gotten a fast pass for Star Tours because, you know, I'm Star Wars weekend, and we got there. It was only a 5-minute wait because, you know, everybody goes to Toy Story and Rock and Roller Coaster and all that stuff. So we got on, and we went on twice. Then I bought a bunch of Star Wars memorabilia stuff, and we made it home. So he got one last bit of Star Wars in before we left. Because I'm such a nerd.
That's good.
Yeah. And they actually had Star Wars comic books up there in the gift shop, so it all comes full circle. I'm everywhere.
hair everywhere on your back. So welcome back, and thank you for that comprehensive review on Star Wars The Dark Side 2017. Yep.
Oh, all good. So is my probation over?
No.
No?
Dang. Yeah,
what does it take with you people?
Maybe some Dole Whip. Dole Whip maker. Soft ice cream maker. I'm just kidding.
Housewarming gift?
Yeah. Maybe. Eh. An office warming gift. I have to move offices, too.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Good times. All right. Thank you.
A new work laptop. Maybe a laptop warming gift. So, for Chris Iliopoulos, who is still, he's close. He's getting there, folks. We need you to sign
vote
in.
Me out. Vote me in.
Give us your take. Should Chris get a full reinstatement, or should he be kept hanging on the line?
What should he be asked to do? Yeah. This might be like Survivor.
Yeah. Should Chris be brought back completely, or should he
voted
be
off the island?
Voted off the island.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So. You put in the power in the people, huh?
Sheesh.
Great.
Yeah. We know when that we let that happen last
time. I have the hugest
no, hugest
podcast ability. This is the best podcast when I'm on.
It's huge, not huge.
Huge.
You know what happened the last time we let people decide things in November? Okay. Anyways, okay. All right. So for Chris Iliopoulos and
there goes
for,
half our audience.
Yeah, Michelle Scribner-McLean. This is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road, in the parks, on the moon, and in the water.
On the dark side. The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. If you would like to support the podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. Last of all, don't forget, if you have any questions for us, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.